The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
All right, joining me now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, very, very happy to have the CEO of the American Edge Project, Doug Kelly, joining me now as we're talking about artificial intelligence and right after Pittsburgh's big National Energy Summit hosted by our friend Senator Dave McCormick. Doug, thanks for joining us today here in Philadelphia. Thanks. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
AI is all the rage, all the talk. It's everything we talked about yesterday. And President Trump said, you know, our AI, we are beating China. The president feels very confident about that. Do you feel as confident about that?
I'm glad he feels that way. I don't feel that confident.
Okay.
Because China has a very aggressive three-part plan to become global leader in AI by 2030, right? They have several elements. First, they're investing $1.4 trillion in becoming the global artificial intelligence leader. Second, what they can't build in their country, they're stealing from us. And then the third is they want to make the world increasingly dependent on their artificial intelligence models because that gives them leverage and control and an injection Communist Party values into the digital infrastructure of the globe, when in reality, we have to make sure that it's American values of freedom and opportunity and transparency that are underpinning the digital infrastructure of the globe.
And that's where you come in, right? The American Edge Project. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so the American Edge Projects were a coalition of 24 different groups that we are unabashed supporters of American innovation. And we talk about the importance of American innovation to our national security, to our economic prosperity, and to, frankly, the advancement of our values both at home and abroad. But let's make no mistake. Yesterday was a great day for America. Mm-hmm. It was a great day for your state, Pennsylvania. But most importantly, it was a great day for the first step in ensuring that America remains the AI leader going forward.
And we need the energy. And you know, what I'm happy about, Doug, is I'm happy about the fact that we're embracing energy finally. You know, the last administration was pushing energy away. They did not want America to be energy independent. I love the fact that the president says we want to be energy dominant. We want to be dominant in AI. Oh. We want to be dominant, frankly, in everything. Yeah. But we're going to have to expand our energy needs. So I was happy to hear more nuclear, more natural gas, all of it, right?
We need all of the above on this, right? When you think about President Eisenhower, right, when he said, hey, we're going to build the interstate highway system and it's going to change our country. Well, we didn't stop building it because we ran out of cement, right? We found more cement.
Right.
And the same case with AI, right? AI is a transformational technology that's going to change how we work. It's going to improve health outcomes and it's going to change the way kids learn for the better. And so the more people that have access to it, the more energy it's going to take. And so if we're not saying, hey, how do we get more energy to the grid from all sources? And how to also, at the same time, how do we strengthen our grid to make sure that it's safe from cyber attacks against China and is robust enough to move the massive amounts of energy we need all across the country? Unless we do those things, we're going to fall behind China because they are making significant investments in those areas, Rich.
Yeah, the grid scares me, Doug. I'm not going to lie. That issue of our grid and not only the reliability of it, but the ability for China to hack it or for any cyber, you know, bad actor to hack it. That makes me nervous. Do you feel confident and do your coalition partners feel confident that we're going in the right direction on that?
We're getting in the right direction here, right? There's look, at the end of the day, artificial intelligence can be President Trump's modern day moonshot moment, right?
Yeah.
In the same way that when Kennedy won the space race, it established American leadership for the next 50 years. This is President Trump's opportunity with artificial intelligence. But I'll be honest with you, there's some challenges that he's facing, some in his own administration, right? So let's just walk through these challenges that he's going to have to work on to get alignment with his goal of beating China in AI. So the first obstacle is some of his appointees, right? At the Department of Justice, at the Federal Trade Commission, they continue to sue America's top AI companies seeking to break these companies up. That's insane, right? You guys just got In Pennsylvania, you just got Aaron Rodgers, right? You wouldn't bench him, right, because you didn't like his politics or whatever. You'd play him because your goal is to win the Super Bowl. President Trump wants to win the Super Bowl of AI, but some of his appointees are kind of saying, I'm going to put different things ahead of winning the Super Bowl. Secondly, members of Congress, both on the left and the right, they're still trying to pass onerous new regulations on America's top innovators. And the third, in the states, holy cow, it's a goat rodeo, Rich. There's been more than 1,000 bills to regulate AI in the states. You can't beat China by having 50 different playbooks overall. So one of the things that needs to pass coming up here is a state AI regulation freeze. Maybe it's 5 years, maybe it's 10 years, but we got to make sure we beat China first, and then we can talk about, okay, what can different states do on this? And the fourth challenge, Rich, overall, is our partners in Europe, right? Mm-hmm. Europe specifically targets American tech innovators for billions and billions and billions of dollars in fines to fund their bureaucracy, and they're not targeting China in the same way. All of those things are obstacles to America's AI leadership that I know President Trump, he's a builder. He can make stuff happen, but he's got to get everybody in the room and say, hey, guys, this is the way this has to go for us to win this transformational technology in China.
You know what's amazing about that? And joining us right now is the CEO of the American Edge Project, Doug Kelly. You can follow him on X at Doug Kelly and also at American Edge. What's amazing about everything you just said, leaving the Aaron Rodgers thing aside, because we probably would bench him, but that's for a different show. The fact that there's still people within the administration who are trying to undermine this is incredibly frustrating for me. And I mean, this is where the bureaucracy always wins, right? You've got these people in the bureaucracy who just think, well, I can hide for the next 3.5 years and then, you know, maybe a Democrat will get back in and we can still run things. That has to stop. ASAP. I mean, for you to say that is a gigantic wake up call. Thank you for giving us the wake up call. But my God, I mean, to imagine that we won and yet here we are in our own branch of government with people undermining the boss.
Yeah, and challenges, Rich, it's some of his own appointees. So he should call them up and say, hey, listen, we got to get on the same page in winning artificial intelligence, because you don't bench your best players or try and break them up if you're trying to win the Super Bowl of AI. It's that simple. And they'll get the message on that. And, you know, certainly, look, on certain things where tech companies do stuff, there's existing law to hold them accountable. But the idea that we're going to break up our biggest innovators, who are also investing in small tech innovators who are creating brand new things in AI, like, that's just insane. We should not unilaterally harm ourselves in this race against China, because China is pulling out all the stops to win this, right? And their vision is simple. We want the world more dependent on our technology, because we're going to embed surveillance, censorship, and control into the world's digital infrastructure. And that means as European countries start using Chinese AI more, they're going to have problems there. American companies may start using it more and more if we're dependent on them, and we can't have that. It has to be American technology dictating the terms across the globe of freedom of opportunity and representing our values and moving it across the globe, not China's.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Look, I always say, to put it in simple terms, I want our AI to be able to beat up their AI. You know what I mean? If we're going to use a sports analogy here, I want our AI to win. But there's a couple concerns that I keep hearing from people. Mm-hmm. Number one, yesterday I had the Attorney General of Pennsylvania on the show. He does not like the idea of the federal government limiting states' abilities to regulate AI. So what do you say to that?
Sure. So in the bill in the provision that was in there on the state AI freeze, there was plenty of allowances for state attorney generals and other states to say, hey, listen, on certain things when it comes to AI, whether it's discrimination or not protecting our citizens, they can fully enforce that. They have open hand to do that. The moratorium was focused on when states try and dictate how tech companies should build things and what can they build, and how can they build it. And so for enforcement to protect citizens, that's 100% already there. But it's when they start saying, hey, you can do this, but you can't do that, and we're going to limit the access of cutting edge models and what they can do. That's insane, because we can't beat China with 50 different state playbooks. And Rich, this at stake here are trillions of dollars, right? Because first of all, national AI gives whichever country leads in it, an enormous national security advantage, right? Because they can just do a lot of things that could protect the country. But secondly, there's also an enormous economic advantage, right? Do we want American companies identifying the new cures to Parkinson's or Alzheimer's or diabetes and then selling those to the world to create hundreds of thousands of jobs here, to rake in hundreds of billions of dollars in profits for further investments in America? Or do we want China to sell it to the globe? We're already seeing what they're doing with electric vehicles, with batteries and other things like that. China, when they want to win a sector, they can. And so we have to be full in alignment with the president, the Congress, his appointees, the states and Europe of how do we win this together? Because if we don't, then communist China is going to dictate our future and not America.
Well said. American Edge, Doug Kelly, I appreciate it very, very much, Doug. And I encourage people to check out your site and follow you at American Edge and at Doug Kelly. Thanks for joining us. This has been very, very enlightening. I appreciate it. And we'll talk again soon.
Hey, thanks so much. Take care.
You too. And as we continue along here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHC, that's the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, VanariaDental, VanariaDental.com, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. New York is all the talk today as Zoran Mandami was on Capitol Hill, and Letitia James is now pushing a ban on masked ICE agents. How does the attorney general of a state have the authority to order federal agents not to wear face masks? The answer is she doesn't. We'll talk about that as we continue along. But listen, I really want to encourage you to get your tickets now to our Politics and Pints event with Giano Caldwell. My man, Giano Caldwell, Fox News superstar with a great story to tell. And we're going to have a fun night together. You know, we don't get a chance to get together enough. And this is going to be on July 31st. I know that seems like a couple weeks out, but believe me, you don't want to wait. You want to go to 1210WPHG.com right now and get your tickets because before you know it, the event's going to be here and you're going to miss out. So just do it today. 1210WPHG.com. Politics and Pints. It's at Bucks County Community College. It's Locke Performing Arts Center. We'll have a lot of fun. We'll talk about the state of affairs in America. He's a funny guy. In fact, he and I are both going to be back on Jimmy Fallon's Saturday Night Show in a couple weeks together. But he also has an incredibly compelling story to tell about his brother's murder and crime in America and these Soros-funded prosecutors and what we can do about them. President Trump endorsed his book, loved it, and said Giano Caldwell is a great guy and encourage everybody to get a copy. So you'll get your copy and you'll join us for that event if you go to 1210WPHT.com right now and get your tickets for our Politics and Pints event with me and Giano Caldwell on July 31st. I'll see you there.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I keep getting asked about the president's handling of the Epstein matter, and objectively, I just have to say, I don't think this is the right way to handle it. The comments to the base and saying to the base, essentially, you're stupid for falling for this, when so many around the president have been saying for years this was a cover-up by Democrats, this is not the way to handle it. That's the key here, is that you're saying to people who are loyal to you that they're stupid for falling for something that essentially now that we were told for years is true. And that's the problem in the handling of this. I think the president should say nothing, absolutely nothing about it, and let Pam Bondi and Kash Patel and Dan Bongino talk about it. But certainly his comments today in the Oval Office are just making people very upset, very upset. And to say stupid Republicans, I mean, Jeff Van Drew, Congressman Jeff Van Drew, is co-sponsoring Tom Massie's bill to release the Epstein files, saying the American people deserve full transparency. I don't think anybody would argue that or would think Jeff Van Drew is stupid. I don't think anybody would think that. I don't think you're stupid if you feel that there's more to this story than what we're being told. I can't imagine you're a dumb person. I mean, we were all told this was a cover-up by Democrats. We were told this, and now for the president to come out and say this is a hoax and stupid Republicans are falling for it, the problem with that is that it's an insult to the very people that supported him. Don't say anything. You don't need to. There's no reason to. I mean, the beauty about being president is you can distance yourself from this kind of stuff, and you can have your AG talk about it. You can have your FBI director talk about it, your deputy FBI director. You could have them fight about it. You could kick the can down the road. But you don't need to say that it's a hoax that stupid Republicans are falling for. You're just gonna lose supporters. I mean, that's just the bottom line. It's hard to say Epstein's a hoax when Ghislaine Maxwell is sitting in prison right now. It's hard to say it's a hoax when the guy who prosecuted him said he was an intelligence asset. I think the reason why the president's saying all these things is because Jeffrey Epstein was an intelligence asset. And I think there's probably people who are on the list or associated with him who did nothing wrong. But the president doesn't need to insult his voters. That never helps in politics, ever. Look, I know he's incredibly popular. And I know that we've never seen a politician like him in our lifetime before. But it's also possible that that crashes down to earth again. I mean, it's also possible that you say these kind of things to people who support you and then they stop supporting you because they feel betrayed. Now, look, I'm not in the room and I did not get a chance to speak with him yesterday. But and he's not asking. But if he were to ask me my advice, I would say, please stop insulting your base. Just say that it's in the hands of the Attorney General. It's in the hands of the FBI. But this is what he said earlier today in the Oval Office. He said a number of things on Epstein. This is one of the things he said.
Mr. President, I know you want to move past all this intrigue over the Epstein files, but I do want to ask you to clarify something you said this morning. You said this was all a hoax. Has your Attorney General told you this was a hoax? What evidence have you seen?
No, it's not the Attorney General. No, I know it's a hoax. It's started by Democrats. It's been run by the Democrats for 4 years. You had Christopher Wray and these characters and Comey before him. And it's a bad group. It started, actually, look at the Steele dossier that turned out to be a total hoax. The 51 agents, the intelligence, so-called intelligence agents, it was a hoax. It's all been a big hoax. It's perpetrated by the Democrats. And some stupid Republicans and foolish Republicans fall into the net. And so they try and do the Democrats' work. The Democrats are good for nothing other than these hoaxes. They're bad for policy. They're bad for picking candidates that can get elected. Like in New York, we have a communist running. He may get elected, too, actually, but he'll destroy the city. I call it the Epstein hoax. It takes a lot of time and effort. Instead of talking about the great achievements we've had, a great gentleman yesterday, as you know, went on CNBC, and he made the statement that Trump may go down as the greatest president of all in the United States. And instead of talking about the things we've achieved, we've had tremendous achievement. They're wasting their time with a guy who obviously had some very serious problems, who died 3-4 years ago. I'd rather talk about the success we have with the economy, the best we've ever had, and all of the things we've done, including the Middle East. I mean, you see it. Instead, they want to talk about the Epstein hoax. And the sad part is it's people that are really doing the Democrats' work. They're stupid people. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, they're stupid people. See, that's the point. Again, I'm trying to help you here. I'm trying to help. I know that there's still people that will reflexively take any criticism and just get angry, but to turn around and say that you're stupid if you want answers to this after years of being told by people you trust that there's more to the story, do I think the auto pen scandal is a bigger scandal? I don't know if it has to be a bigger scandal. I think multiple scandals can be true at the same time. I'm just saying from a communications perspective, the the way to handle it is not to say the base is stupid. If you want the truth on this, you're not stupid. You've been led to believe that there's more. You've been told that there's more. You've been told that there is a cover-up of this. And so when the president puts out a statement and says the radical left Democrats have hit pay dirt again, just like with the fake and fully discredited Steele dossier, the lying 51 intelligence agents, the laptop from hell, which the Dems swore had come from Russia, no, it came from Hunter Biden's bathroom, and even the Russia scam itself, a totally fake and made up story used in order to hide crooked Hillary Clinton's big loss in the 2016 presidential election. These scams and hoaxes are all the Democrats are good at. It's all they have. They are no good at governing, no good at policy, and no good at picking winning candidates. Also, unlike Republicans, they stick together like glue. Their new scam is what we will forever call the Jeffrey Epstein hoax. And my past supporters, past in all caps, my past supporters have bought into this BS, the word spelled out, hook, line, and sinker. They haven't learned their lesson and probably never will, even after being conned by the lunatic left for 8 long years. I've had more success in 6 months than perhaps any president in our country's history. And all these people want to talk about with strong prodding by the fake news and the success-starved Democrats is the Jeffrey Epstein hoax. Let these weaklings continue forward and do the Democrats' work. Don't even think about talking of our incredible and unprecedented success because I don't want their support anymore. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Make America great again. I don't think it's a good idea to put people down like this. I really don't. I do not think this is wise. From a communications perspective, if you want to call the Jeffrey Epstein thing a hoax, that's okay. But to then turn around and say to the people that worked so hard to get you elected that they're stupid or they're now your past supporters, it's not going to go over well. Here's Rogan ripping on this and saying that this is all being covered. Whether it's a cover up or not, it's about how you communicate this and how you handle this and how you speak to people who respect you. Because there are so many questions out there that smart, intelligent, good people want answers to, and it doesn't make them stupid that all of a sudden now it's just decided by the president that it's a hoax. It's not how you handle this. This is what Rogan said.
They've got videotape and all of a sudden they don't. You know, you got the director of the FBI on the show saying there's no tape. If there was, nothing you're looking for is on those tapes. Like, what? Why'd they say there was thousands of hours of tapes of people doing horrible Why'd they say that?
Right.
Didn't Pam Bondi say that?
What, are you talking about Epstein or Diddy?
Yeah, Epstein.
Yeah, she said it literally, I think, a week before you had the FBI director sitting here telling you there was nothing, right?
She said something about that there was like thousands yes. of hours of tapes of people doing horrible crimes.
There is. And didn't the FBI dude say that there was nothing?
Cash Patel said there's nothing you're looking for. Oh, okay. Okay. I mean, what am I going to do? I'm going to push back.
Right. No, of course. I understand.
He's saying what he has to say.
Right.
Mystery surrounds the Jeffrey Epstein files after Bondi claims tens of thousands of videos. Tens of thousands. Jesus Christ.
I'll tell you what.
Chill. Oh, my God. Was reviewing tens of thousands of videos, the wealthy financier with children or child porn. The comment made to reporters at the White House days after a similar remark to a stranger with a hidden camera raised the stakes for President Donald Trump's administration to prove it has in its possession previously unseen compelling documents. Or just bomb Iran and everybody forgets.
Just bomb Iran. Yeah.
Everybody forgets about it.
Nobody's forgetting about it. And that's part of the problem here. Nobody's forgetting about it. I don't know if the president considers the speaker to be one of those stupid Republicans, Speaker Mike Johnson, but he wants Ghislaine Maxwell to testify to Congress. He is demanding the DOJ release everything they have on Epstein. So is the speaker one of those stupid Republicans? Is Jeff Van Drew one of those stupid Republicans? I mean, This is what the speaker said.
Speaker Johnson, this is sort of on the heels of something else that a lot of people are asking questions about. And because we've been lied to by our federal government for so long, I feel like there's some type of like there's a pain point, right? And a pressure cooker that gets heated up on issues like the Epstein issue,
yeah.
Right? And obviously that's something that's taken over a lot of the online dialogue. But a question here about it that concerns either testifying or testimony for Ghislaine Maxwell potentially before Congress, or if you would support members like Marjorie Taylor Greene or Ana Paulina Luna on the release of subpoenaing the Epstein documents from the DOJ, and whether you would support either of those.
Yeah, I haven't talked to Marjorie or Anna about that specific subject, but I'm for transparency. We're intellectually consistent in this. Look, Reagan used to tell us we should trust the American people. I believe in that principle. I know President Trump does as well, and I trust him. I mean, he put together a team of his choosing, and they're doing a great job. It's a very delicate subject, but we should put everything out there and let the people decide it. I mean, the White House and the White House team are privy to facts that I don't know. I mean, this isn't my lane. I haven't been involved in that. But I agree with the sentiment that we need to put it out there. And you know, Pam Bondi, I don't know, when she originally made the statement, I think she was talking about documents, as I understood it, they were on her desk. I don't know that she was specific about a list or whatever, but she needs to come forward and explain that to everybody. I like Pam. I mean, I think she's done a good job. We need the DOJ focusing on the major priorities. So let's get this thing resolved so that they can deal with violent crime and public safety and election integrity and going after Act Blue and the things that the president is most concerned about, as we are. So I'm anxious to get this behind us.
I think everybody is. I do. I think everybody is. Look, I've seen how politics can be. I've seen how people can lose support on a dime. And even people who seem to be Teflon, even people who seem to be able to approach the sun and not get burned. And Donald Trump is the single most unique politician I've ever seen in my lifetime. But even he is not let me say it this way. I mean, even he... It's not completely out of the realm to say he loses support. I know that sounds crazy because he seems so incredibly popular, but it can happen to anybody. It can happen to any politician. But the first way it usually begins is when your own loyal base feels like you've betrayed them. And even if you can't give them the information, they'll understand that. But what they're going to have a tough time with is suddenly being told, this is a hoax and you're stupid for believing it. That's the part. If you can't release the list, if you can't release the videos, if this is all because he's a national security asset and this has to be protected for national security, that's one thing. And I think people will understand that. I do. But they won't understand suddenly being told that they're stupid and that they've fallen for a hoax this entire time. That they won't accept. That's how you lose support. That's how you lose your base. That's how you go from being politically infallible to then turning around and being incredibly unpopular. That's how that happens. And it can happen like that. I mean, that's the thing. It can happen like that. And, you know, I'm saying this out of genuine concern here for the president and his well-being, his political well-being. And I don't know who around him is advising him to say these things about his own base, but that's who he's talking about. And I know he wants to move on from this, and I get it. And I know that there's a lot of priorities out there, and I get that too. But for somebody who's believed for years and years and years that this was going to be the conclusion of what they thought was one of the great cover-ups, to then be told that they were an idiot for believing it was a cover-up in the first place— that's, you know, imagine your whole life you believe John F. Kennedy was shot in an assassination attempt and the definitive evidence comes out to prove he wasn't, but they don't release the information. They just tell you it's there and you're stupid for ever doubting it, but they're still not giving you the information to prove that. And they're stupid telling you that you were dumb to fall for a hoax. You're not going to be satisfied with that answer. Nobody is. And that's where we are right now. So we'll see where this goes, but certainly there's going to be a lot more said about it. No doubt about that. Coming right back.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
So funny listening to the reaction of people who were talking about the communist socialist kook Zoran Mandani, and how all these Democrats like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and other people are so excited now. They're so excited that Mandami is on Capitol Hill. What I found fascinating about this now is he's walking away from the globalized, the intifada, which obviously means kill the Jews. So he's decided not to say that anymore. So he's not going to use that term anymore. Globalize the intifada. So that's the Mandami, Zoran Mandami 2.0. Not going to talk about killing the Jews anymore. All right, so there you go. But the Democrats are all in. Very, very excited that he's on Capitol Hill. Very excited that he's there. And he's, you know, what can I say? I mean, it's a new day. Pramila J. Pal, very excited. Squad member, lunatic, very happy.
He's bringing the party together at this point.
Look, he's bringing anybody who can see the reality of the success of his candidacy and his campaign together. Anybody that's staying out at this point instead of endorsing this incredible dynamic leader is missing an opportunity.
Do you think he ran over any of the new members who weren't supporting him or on the fence?
Sorry, what was that?
Do you think he won over any members?
Oh, I think it's hard not to be won over because it's the combination of his authenticity, his smarts, and his commitment to lifting up working people and making life better for real folks that is really inspiring and not always easy to find, you know? And so I hope so. Yeah.
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, he's bringing the party together.
There you go. It's anybody who doesn't back this wonderful, young, charming man, wonderful, young, charming Marxist standing in the way. That's different from what Governor Kathy Hochul said on MSNBC this morning.
It's a true statement, and I have no choice. And what people fail to realize, what they will next year perhaps, is that the governor has enormous power over all of our cities. And, for example, a couple days ago, I had to sign legislation to allow the city of New York to put cameras in speed zones near schools. Now, one would think that's something the local government handles, but the way it's been structured since the 1970s, when a lot of power was given because of the meltdown, the fiscal crisis here, Albany has extraordinary power over the city. I can work with whomever
so
the voters want me to work
basically.
With. I will never work or harm the city of New York. I won't hold money hostage and make people suffer, as has been practices in the past. But people have to understand that I'm going to make sure that we have a climate where businesses can thrive. They create jobs.
Here it
they
is.
Give us the revenues I need to be able to have very generous social safety net programs. So we'll keep it all together. But this is going to be an election for the ages, a little unprecedented to have all the attention in November. It's usually settled in June. So we'll be watching closely.
I'm Donnie.
Now, that is fascinating because here you go. You've got Kathy Hochul finally acknowledging that this race is going to be bad, bad, bad. Then she was asked the concerns, obviously, about his comments about Jews and Jews in New York, because there's a lot of them, Jews in New York. So this is interesting and very telling how the governor of New York answers this question. Pay a little bit of attention here to this.
Those concerns with him directly. I said you have a lot of healing to do with the Jewish community. Many of your words have been hurtful and hateful to people in their interpretation of it. So job number one is to straighten that relationship out if you can and to get them to understand that if you become the mayor, we don't know the outcome, but if you become the mayor, that you'll be a mayor for everyone. And no one should have to worry about being in a city and feeling less safe because of who the mayor is and their religious beliefs. So that was important.
If you become the mayor. If you become the mayor. Now, he's the Democrat nominee for mayor. But you see, he's on Capitol Hill today, surrounded by the communist Marxist kooks, AOC, who says people just need to get to know the guy. All right? People just need to get to know Mandami. If you don't like him, if you don't understand him, it's just that you just don't know him, okay? Representative Debbie Dingell, who's from Michigan, she was trying to avoid that meeting like the plague. A lot of them were trying to avoid that meeting like the plague, bringing that guy to Capitol Hill. And they kept moving the meeting because they didn't want anyone to find it. They really did. They kept moving the meetings. They didn't want anyone to know what was happening, where it was going on. You just got to get to know Zoran Mamdani. That's all it is. And then once you do, you're gonna like the guy. I promise. You'll just like him. Okay? That's all it is. To take my word for it. He's a sweetie pie of a Marxist communist lunatic like me and Bernie Sanders.
I think a lot of people just need to get to know folks before they issue an endorsement. And I hope that this conversation can be constructive to bring the party together and rally behind our nominee.
Okay. There you go. Rally behind the nominee. There you go. Okay? Okay, good. Just rally behind the nominee. And as far as the phrase globalize the intifada, I mean, it's possible some people mean it literally and some people mean it figuratively. At least that's what Democrat Representative Andre Carson said. I don't know. Well, you be the judge.
Speak to people who might still be on the fence here, especially on the globalize the intifada phrase, because that, you know, really did not go over well with some folks sure. out there. What does he need to do besides? I mean, do you think he needs to just come out and condemn the phrase?
Well, I think he'll speak to it. I mean, some people mean it literally. Some people have repurposed the phrase. They mean it symbolically. And I think he can speak to it better than I can.
Mean. Some people mean it literally, some people mean it figuratively, and I think he can speak to it better than I can. Dude, it's kill the Jews, all right? That's what he's saying. That's what he means. You know that. But he's authentic and inspiring. He's authentic and inspiring. That's who he is. Wow, they got such a problem with this guy, don't they? The front cover, where is it? Oh, the New York Post. Sickle and dimed. Socialist Zoe tells businesses, I'll raise taxes and you won't leave. That's why Kathy Hochul was like, listen, I'm the governor, okay? I still get to decide all these things. I'm in charge. They are so worried about this lunatic winning. It's such a bad look for the Democrats right now. It really is. I mean, I know everybody's talking about Epstein. Oh, and speaking of that, this Democrat is now suggesting that because Donald Trump is saying it's a hoax, it's obvious now that he's on the list. This is why this needs to go to bed. Okay, this whole issue needs to go to bed right away as soon as possible because idiots like this guy Dan Goldman are using this as an opportunity now to try to suggest that there are videos of Trump, and that's why he's hiding this. So, yeah, no, he really said that today on Capitol Hill. He did. This is what he said.
And while they're here, we can ask them about a very pressing question. What's going on with the Epstein files? Donald Trump promised to release them. Pam Bondi said she had the files on her desk and that she was going to release them in the name of transparency. Kash Patel has spent years railing against the FBI to release the files. Many of my Republican colleagues were banging on the table to release the Epstein files. But now, all of a sudden, after a months-long review, Bondi and Patel say nothing to see here. No evidence that any American would want to see about accomplices, co-conspirators, or other peoples involved.
Did you care?
Yesterday, the Republicans voted against releasing the files. So what's changed? Well, we all know Donald Trump has had a relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. He flew on his plane, he hung out in parties, spoke highly of him. And now there are many people saying that Donald Trump is included in the Epstein files.
You know what? If he was, they would have released that during the campaign. They did everything they possibly could against the guy. You're telling me that if there was anything about Trump... See, that's why I don't believe Trump is trying to get away from this because it has anything to do with him. Not at all. I think Democrats are going to try to spin it that way. But after everything they've come out with Trump, you don't think that if there was something in there with Epstein, they would have used it? Of course they would have. 100%. No doubt about that. Absolutely. That's ridiculous. But this gives the Democrats an opening to try to go after him and say, oh, he's covering it up because it's about him. No, it's not about him. They know that, too. And if they, and they had plenty of opportunity when they were running the Justice Department to release the files, and they never did. Bottom line. All right. That's for it tonight. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla is up next. Keep the conversation going on X. And get your tickets to see me and Gianno Caldwell together on stage July 31st at Bucks County Community College in Newtown. It's going to be a banger of a night. I want to see you there. Politics and Pints. Go to 1210WPHG.com right now. Get your tickets. Thank you for listening.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.